spreading farm information and occasionally manure. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
It's time again for Check Off Trats, brought to you courtesy of the Wisconsin Beef Council, as well as our friends at the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. It's all about how your beef checkoff dollars are being channeled in the marketplace through research, through promotion, and of course, in an ever-changing world marketplace. You can find out more by going online to beeftips.com. Wisconsin Beef Council on Facebook and social media, and of course, equitycoop.com. So today, joining us from the U.S. Meat Export Federation is Joe Shealy. He is a fellow that is well-versed in trying to pay attention to all the moving parts when it comes to COVID-19 and impact on the meat industry as a whole. Of course, that includes our Wisconsin beef producers. Joe, let's talk a little bit about, now it's better than 60 days ago when COVID-19 really became a part of everybody's lexicon. Whether you're in agriculture or not, it has been front and center. So within the U.S. Meat Export Federation, you want to tell me about the projects that were underway and how quickly things had to kind of pivot as the world market that we work in started changing.
Well, we've actually been dealing with COVID-19 really since about late January was when it started to first impact some of our Asian markets. And so we very quickly started to make some changes. It was clear that a lot of the face-to-face promotion, a lot of the direct-to-the-consumer promotion that we do in a lot of those markets really wasn't going to be appropriate as we looked at stay-at-home orders, shelter-at-home orders, that kind of thing, and just a general reluctance of consumers in those markets to spend time at, say, a supermarket tasting or some type of promotion like that. And so we've really worked with our customers. Our international customers have shown great creativity, great versatility in how they have kept our product in front of the consumer, kept demand going really strong, particularly at the retail level, but even also at food service, even given these difficult changing relationships with consumers, because consumers still want the product. In fact, they want high quality meat more than ever because they're cooking at home more than they have been. They've got a lot of places had schools closed for several weeks. They're doing more meals at home. They want that high quality beef, but you weren't going to be able to market to them the same way. So we've undergone a lot of changes, and as I said, we've been very impressed with how resilient the demand has been, especially in the Asian markets, but really all over the world. There's still strong demand for U.S. beef, but we've had to make some changes in the way we market to the consumer.
And I'm curious about just getting that product from one place to the other. One thing we learned during COVID-19 is the supply chain can suddenly get compromised very quickly when employees can't be on the line. Did you notice some of that, Joe, when it just came to keeping that constant on behalf of the customers around the world that were looking for U.S. beef?
We did deal with that to some degree early on, getting into the China-Hong Kong region. Their ports, their customs agencies, and just the people that would remove product from the ports and get it into commercial channels, they were short-staffed, so we saw some backlogs there. We've had some slowdowns in the Philippines and in Central America and places like that where you have a few bottlenecks. But overall, we've really, I think the worst of the logistical issues are behind us as far as getting product into the international markets. Now, the supply issues, they definitely impacted our April export results. We expect to see that impact continue into May. We don't have a lot of control over that. We focus more on the demand side. But when you lose days of slaughter and when you lose shifts and we have to slow some things down for protection of plant workers, that's definitely gonna have some impact on exports because you're just not producing at the volume that you were. We were at record large production for several months in a row, and we've seen a slowdown there. But again, I think hopefully the worst of that is behind us, and we're seeing normal production levels return or at least near normal. And that's been a big relief to our international customers. When the first of those temporary plant closures started, there was a lot of concerns in Japan and Korea and Taiwan, some of these high-volume markets that take fresh chilled beef, a product that's never frozen. It's got a limited short life. They can't really stock up the way that customers customers that deal in frozen product do. So they were pretty concerned about keeping that consistent supply chain moving. Seeing those slaughter numbers go steadily up the last couple of weeks has been a big relief to them and has helped to secure that good customer loyalty that we've spent a long time cultivating in our Asian markets.
Absolutely. Joe Seeley along with us with the U.S. Meat Export Federation, a major partner with our Wisconsin beef producers. And, of course, dairy guys, remember, that's you too. And part of the reason why we want to pay attention to the conversations the U.S. Meat Export Federation is having is because our Wisconsin beef producers have forged a really good partnership with U.S. Meat Export Federation in Central America. Now, Joe, that was one of the areas you mentioned has been obviously impacted. That market's changed a little bit with COVID-19. Wisconsin's invested checkoff dollars there. And you said that you are well aware of some changes, some adjustments that U.S. Meat Export Federation has made to keep that business going in this new COVID marketplace. Tell me about that.
Well, some of our Latin American markets have been, there's been a bit of an indirect impact on them and with the COVID-19 situation as it's really hit their currency hard. And so in Mexico and some of our other Latin American markets, we're always challenged to meet those price points in those markets, and especially now with some of the currencies slumping a little bit. But we have seen really strong growth in demand over the past several years in places like Central and South America, the Dominican Republic, some of the Caribbean markets. And of course, those are big tourist destinations, and so they're having a tough time right now, but we feel like that business will definitely come back. And one of the reasons it'll come back is because of the great investments that we've had from organizations like the Wisconsin Beef Council, who are an early supporter of our Latin American Product Showcase. That's an event that we do every year. We usually do it in June. We'd normally be going down there in a couple of weeks. We were going to hold it in Costa Rica this year. It's moved around to several different markets over the years, but in Costa Rica, we were going to host buyers. We generally get about 50 to 60 U.S. exporters and as many as 200 buyers from all across Latin America to come to one place, and they have the opportunity to sample U.S. beef and to look at what products they would be interested in. And it's been highly successful over the years. It really started about 12 years ago, a little event in Panama that attracted a grand total of about 40 people, and last year I think we had about 300 people there when we held it last year. So we will be in Costa Rica, but it'll be later this year. We're going to move that event to October. Hopefully the travel restrictions and all the other issues will be behind us by then, and we'll have a good event. But that's an example of where Wisconsin beef producers have invested their checkoff dollars over the year, and we've seen tremendous growth in markets like Panama, Chile, the Dominican Republic. Those are all excellent markets for us. Guatemala is a strong market for us, and we've been moving into some of the emerging markets would include El Salvador and Ecuador. Those markets are pretty small individually, but they add up to a lot of good business throughout the region. And we found out that when we run into trade issues or trade barriers in some of our mainstay markets, it's always good to have a wide range of developing markets. And so we're always working everywhere across the world to develop new markets wherever we can, and Latin America is a good example of that.
Joe, tell me, why is Latin America, Central America, why do they seem particularly ripe for our Wisconsin beef checkoff dollars? Is it the cut that they like? Is it the type of beef they like? I know that we've done reverse trade missions with some of the buyers from Central America, bringing them to Wisconsin to meet our beef producers, meet our beef processors, etc. What is it about that particular niche that seems to fit our Wisconsin growers so well?
Well, I think with a lot of our fed cattle being slaughtered at a relatively young age, they like that quality. They like that grain fed quality they can get, and they can get, we do ship some middle meats to that region, but they get a lot of end cuts, a lot of shoulder clods, gooseneck rounds, those types of products that wouldn't necessarily attract great demand in the domestic market. They're able to access those cuts, and so that appeals to them. We've also been marketing a lot of variety meat there, livers, hearts, tongues, lips, things like that, which have really almost no interest from the U.S. consumer. And we've been able to diversify the destinations for those. At one time, we were sending a very high percentage of our beef livers to either Russia or Egypt. Well, then the Russian market closed. It hasn't been open for since about 2013, and we were heavily reliant on Egypt, but we've expanded those destinations. Now we're moving a lot of beef livers into Latin America and even into Africa. And as we get access for over 30 months of age cattle, that is particularly of interest to the dairy producers, because anytime you've got access for cattle of all ages and you can ship some of that meat from spent dairy cows, you can send some of that overseas. That'll add value to that carcass as well. So those markets are always good destinations for those cuts, whether they be for direct consumption or perhaps raw material for further processing. There's a lot of well-developed processing industries in those countries that will buy that beef and use it for raw material for sausages and other processed meats.
So these are the stories that beef producers, our dairy industry even for that matter, would not otherwise hear about unless it was for the partnership that our Wisconsin Beef Council and your checkoff dollars has forged with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Joe Ashili along with us representing the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Like we said, these are not partnerships that have just been formed overnight. Fortunately, these are partnerships that were invested in well before COVID-19 and the way the world has been rocked. If you want to find out how your Wisconsin beef checkoff dollars are being invested right here at home, beeftips.com or Wisconsin Beef Council on social media. And our thanks also to the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association for partnering with Wisconsin beef producers on this Checkoff Chats conversation today, featuring Joe Ashili.
From the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.